So no sleeping during the sermon tonight, amen. Miss Nadine's got the popcorn popping, and we're looking forward to fellowship afterwards. But and all the preliminaries, thank you, Cases. Thank you, Brother Howard, Pastor Donald, Miss Vivian, for your ministry to us. But let's zero in, folks, on the Word of God and what God has for us tonight. The title of our message tonight is He's Real. He's real. Amen. Just like our brother came and sang, Brother Matthewson, He's real, He's real. I know He's real. Praise God, the doubts are settled. I know He's real. In our text, Jesus is, as we've already stated, He's at His Last Supper and He's giving His disciples comfort. And the reason He's giving His disciples comfort, and the reason He starts off chapter 14 with, "Let not your heart be troubled," is because their hearts were troubled, folks. You see, this one that they had forsaken all and followed had said, "You know what? I'm going to go up to Jerusalem and I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die." And they said, "What did we do? We didn't just casually on weekends follow the Lord. We gave up everything to follow the Lord." Their hearts were troubled. And so He comes to them with these words of comfort. And He's going down. He's telling them that don't worry, I'm going to rise again. I'm going to come back to you. I'm not going to leave you comfortless, He says. Look down, if you would, chapter 14, verse number 16, please. And thank God for this verse. If you mark your Bible, you should mark this verse. It says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." That's the sweet Holy Spirit of God. Jesus is going on, and He's telling His disciples, He says in verse 21, "He that hath My commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loved Me." And by the way, I don't need to tell this crowd, but I'm going to say it anyway. Listen, don't tell me you love God. Show me you love God. That's what He's saying right here. Hey, if you really love Me, you'll do what I say. My children are small right now, and we're struggling in the area of obedience. And what I mean by struggling is Daddy and Mommy are keeping at it, so that when they get older, they'll know how to obey their boss. And most of all, they'll know how to obey God. You see, the child that loves God, the child of God that loves God, is he that is obedient to Him. And He says there, "He it is that loveth Me, and he that loveth Me shall be loved of My Father, and I will love him, and will manifest Myself unto him." And here, Judas, not Iscariot, comes to Him and he says, he has an honest question. He says, "Lord, how wilt Thou manifest Thyself to us?" He wasn't asking in a nasty way or anything. He wanted to know, how are you going to manifest? That word manifest, it's a beautiful word. It means to make something evident. To make something evident. By the way, many wanted Jesus to manifest Himself to them. Was it not Satan himself who came to Jesus three times during Jesus' temptation in Matthew chapter 4 and said, "If Thou be the Son of God, do this. If Thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. If Thou be the Son of God, cast Thyself down, for His angels will give charge over Thee." If, and He would say, "Just show Me you're really Him. Just show Me. Prove it." There was another time, if you would, in Matthew chapter 16, you remember when the Pharisees came to Him and they said, they demanded of Him a sign. They wanted a sign. They wanted Him to prove Himself. We're in the book of John. Go back just a little bit here. Go back to chapter 10. Look at verse 24. John chapter 10, verse 24. It says, "Then came the Jews round about Him here in the temple there on Solomon's porch and said unto Him, How long dost Thou make us to doubt? If Thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." Show us, amen, if you're really Him. Go over to John chapter 14. Back where our text was, before our text was in John chapter 14. Look at verses 8 and 9. Remember, Jesus had said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father. Verse 8 says, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and have ye not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Go over to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, a great portion of Scripture. These are all times where people are saying to Jesus, manifest thyself. Make it plain to us. Make it evident. Look at verse number 19 of John chapter 20. I love this passage because I love the Sunday night service. Amen. And old Thomas here, he'd missed the Sunday night before. Amen. Says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in them in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. By the way, you'd want somebody to say that too who just walked through a door. Amen. By the way, he who is the door can walk through the door. Amen. And then it says this in verse 20, And when he had so said, he showed unto him his hands and his sides, and then were his disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then saith Jesus to them, Peace be unto you, even as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And he goes down and down to verse 24, But Thomas, which is one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And you remember the story how Thomas said, if you go on and read, he said, Look, except I see the prints in his hands and the tear in his side, I'll not believe. He said, I want him to show himself unto me. And this is one of those rare instances where Jesus does. He comes to Thomas and he says, Go ahead, put your fingers in the holes. Put your hand in my side. And what does he say? My Lord and my God. You know, we're no different than these disciples. We want God to show Himself to us. Sometimes in a selfish way. By the way, sometimes it's when that blessed loved one is on that sick bed. And there's nothing selfish about that. Come on now, help me, church, amen. Nothing selfish about that. Sometimes it's when we lose a loved one and we just need Him to show. We need Him to manifest Himself. How does God manifest Himself to us in this age? It's through the blessed Holy Spirit of God. The third member of the Trinity, co-equal with God the Father, co-equal with God the Son. Listen, the most misunderstood member of the Trinity is the Holy Spirit. The most victim of much false doctrine is the sweet Holy Spirit of God. And I think that He, the Blessed One, and I call her blessed because God did, the Blessed Mary. Oh, she's not the blessed perpetual virgin, but she gave birth to our Lord. Amen. I think it must grieve the Holy Spirit as it grieves Mary to be so misconstrued and so misunderstood. We're going to look tonight, just a simple topical message about the manifesting ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's real. How does He manifest Himself to us? Well, we're in the book of John. Go to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, we'll look at two passages here, 2 points, and then we'll move through the New Testament here, through Romans and 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Philippians, and we'll end up somewhere in Revelation around sunset. Amen. Oh, the Holy Spirit is so wonderful to manifest Himself to us. What's the first scriptural way that He manifests Himself? Look at verse 8 of John chapter 16. Verse 7, actually, look at verse 7. It says, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He ascended up. 50 days later, the Holy Spirit came down. Amen. He went away. The Comforter came. And then what does it say in verse 8? And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. What is the first manifesting ministry of the Holy Spirit? Number one, He manifests Himself to us by convicting. Convicting us. And listen, I am still an old-fashioned independent Baptist preacher. I believe that nobody gets saved without conviction of sin. Listen, you can call it whatever you want. I don't get into these debates and fusses with people. Listen to me. I've heard people say you gotta get down and repent of every sin you ever committed. By the way, if you gotta do that, you're in big trouble because you can't remember the sins you all committed. But you do have to repent of unbelief. You do have to believe you're a sinner. You do have to be convicted of your sin. And you know who does that? The sweet Holy Spirit of God. I remember being in that pew, Mountain View Baptist Church, February 26, 1995, with my long rebellious hair, sitting there, and the preacher was given the invitation, and he talked about what it was to be a sinner. And I'm going to tell you what was going on in my soul. There was a struggle going on. Satan, probably not Satan himself, he's not omnipresent, amen. But he's got a whole lot of imps that do his business and his bidding. That said to me, you don't need to listen to that. You don't need to worry about that. You're no worse than anybody else. By the way, I wasn't. Because there's a lot of worse people than me. But that's a bad comparison. And the Holy Spirit said, but you have broken God's law. And you do need to be saved. And Jesus wants to save you. Listen, the sweet Holy Spirit of God does a convict. By the way, He doesn't only do that in our lives for salvation. He does that in our lives when we sin. You say, I haven't sinned in years. You just did. You lied. Amen. Oh, listen. I think of one of the easiest ways that a Christian sin is to just talk unkindly to another Christian. Shame on us. Shame on me speaking unkindly to any of you. Amen? But I'll tell you what happens when that happens. When I do that, or I say something I shouldn't, I get alone with God. The Holy Spirit deals with me. Best evidence you're saved. Best evidence you're saved is that the Holy Spirit convicts you. Oh, He works us over. Not in a nasty way, not in a bad way. I like to say He gives us what's called spiritual heartburn. We just can't be comfortable in our sin. By the way, I'm glad of that. If you can be comfortable in your sin, I doubt very much if you're truly saved. What is it? Well, how does He manifest Himself? Convicting. Secondly, also in that text, and it's a wonderful text, you can read it perhaps on your own time. Great text to study about the Holy Spirit. But look at verse 13. It says, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me." What is the second manifesting ministry of the Holy Spirit? Not only convicting, but teaching. He teaches us. He teaches us His Word. And by the way, beware of any sort of ministry where the Holy Spirit is lifted up. You listen to me. The Holy Spirit, He's the third member of the triune God. Amen. But He always, always, always points people to Jesus. That's what He does. He shall glorify Me. He doesn't glorify Himself. He points men to Jesus. Do you know what He does? Brother Horsch, in those early morning hours when you open that book, He teaches you. Brother Leonard, you take that time as you're on the job, maybe look at your Bible, He teaches you. You sit under your preacher, and as inept as I am, and believe me, God knows that I am, but He will teach you. He'll teach you. He'll show you that which is good. He'll show you that which is right from that which is wrong. And then not only that, that which is right from that which is almost right. He'll teach you if you'll let Him. It's a teaching. Think of how far you've come since the day you got saved because of the Holy Spirit teaching you His Word. Oh, mercy! He teaches us. Number one, how does He manifest Himself? By convicting. Number two, by teaching. Number three, go to Romans chapter 8. A couple verses here in Romans chapter 8. Again, a great passage on the Holy Spirit. This whole passage could be preached on, and maybe someday we will, but I'm just going to hit and run here tonight, a couple verses here. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse number 16. How does the manifesting ministry of the Holy Spirit, by convicting, by teaching? Look at verse number 16 of Romans chapter 8. It says this: "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." What is the third way that the Holy Spirit manifests Himself? By witnessing to us that we're His children. By telling us, hey, you know that song, "I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses." Everyone, "and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own." And amen. "As we tarry there, none other has ever known." Hey, you get to read in this book. You get to read in this book, and the Holy Spirit says, "You're mine. You belong to me." By the way, it goes back to that convicting ministry. You know why He convicts you? Because you're His child. Just like I've said many times, I have been in Walmart or Myers many times and felt the God-given responsibility to correct somebody else's child. But I'm not allowed to. Even though, bless God, I want to. Amen. They're not mine. You know why God doesn't convict the world? They're not His. You know why God doesn't witness and manifest Himself to those people out there that don't know Him? They're not His. The reason why He witnesses to you, Brother Gary, and He tells you, "You're my child," is because you are His child. Thank God for that. Amen. The witnessing manifesting ministry. The convicting manifesting ministry. The teaching manifesting ministry. Down just a little bit, and I love this one in Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 26. Oh, what a blessed ministry this is. How He manifests Himself to us. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." What's the fourth way that the Holy Spirit manifests Himself to us? By helping us. By helping us. Have you ever gotten to the point where you dropped to your knees to pray and you didn't even know what to say? I have. Not often, thank God. I don't think we could stand too much of that. God knows, amen. But there's been times where I dropped to my knees, even this year, folks, where I dropped to my knees and I didn't even know what to pray. And you know what the Holy Spirit does? He helps us. He helps us. He helps us. He prays for us. The Bible calls Him the Comforter. You know, when you're down and you don't know what to do and you're walking and you're crying, and you know what the Holy Spirit, that word, it's such a great word. I don't delve into the Greek a lot. I think a lot of that is just preachers trying to puff themselves up. I'm like Dr. Malone. Dr. Malone said, "I know a little Greek and a little Hebrew. The little Greek owns a pizza shop and the little Hebrew's my lawyer." That's about all I know, amen. But I'm telling you, I remember looking up this word. The word paraclete means one who comes alongside. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He comes alongside of us when we don't know what to do, when we get to that point, and we say, God, help me. He does.
Amen.
What a wonderful, wonderful God we have. He manifests Himself to us by helping, by witnessing, by teaching, by convicting. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I believe in what I call going in Bible circles. Always taking right turns. Amen. I start at the earliest text and move to the right. Amen. Everything I do is to the right. Amen. Right wing all the way. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. I don't know about you, but I'm being blessed by my own preaching tonight. Amen. Thinking of the sweet Holy Ghost of God and how all these things He does for me. Amen. Verse number 16. Know ye not, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Convicting, teaching, witnessing, helping. How else does He manifest Himself? Romans 8:11 says this, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. For the Spirit that dwelleth in you. What's the fifth way? Indwelling us. Indwelling us. And thank God this is dependent upon the perfect prayer of Jesus. Back in our text, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you how long? Forever. You see, that's why if you're truly saved, you can never lose your salvation. You're indwelled by the Spirit of God. He indwells us. Where, listen, think about this in a positive and a negative. Where you go, He must go. Years ago, I heard a preacher give the illustration. He had a red van. Our preacher had a red van. It was one of those big conversion vans. And really nice, actually. You could have lived in that thing. It was so nice. Had comfy seats and all that. He said, just imagine you're going someplace sinful and you see my red van behind you. He said, and all of a sudden, the place you want to go is on the left, but you take a right. And that red van keeps following you. And you say, my goodness, that red van, it's everywhere I go. You keep trying to get away from me. You can't get away from it. Finally, you know what? You'd probably decide, it'd probably be best if I just went home and didn't go to this sinful place. We've got somebody more attached than that red van. We've got the Holy Spirit of God. And where you go, He goes. Hey, young people, what you watch, He has to watch. You know why? He's never going to leave you. What you listen to, He has to listen to. He can't, Brother Kalmbach, I think so many times He wants to do this. But He can't. You know why? Because God is bound by His Word. He said, He will abide with you forever, He said. But praise God for the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's how He manifests Himself to us, by indwelling us, by helping us, by witnessing, by teaching, by convicting. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're pulling up to the finish line here. Three more points. Second Corinthians chapter 6. This great passage at the end speaking about separation. And by the way, let it be known that this preacher still believes that you ought to live separate. Amen. Ought to be separate from some things. Ought not to partake of some things that the world partakes of. Amen. Amen and amen. Verse 16 says, it says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As He hath said, I will dwell in them. We just looked at that, indwelling. And walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What's the sixth way that God manifests Himself to us? By walking with us. By walking with us. He walks with us. We sung it before. He walks with me and He talks with me. And He tells me I am His own. God Himself, the Holy Spirit of God, walks with us. By the way, Amos 3:3 is still a good verse for that. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Hey, you want to walk in God's blessing? I sure do. I don't want to walk far away from God. By the way, He still goes with us. But I'm going to tell you, when He walks with us and we walk with Him, our lives will be blessed. Amen. Financially, well, maybe not. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. I'm not a prosperity gospel preacher. Those guys are charlatans. They wear $5,000 suits. Mine cost $110. Amen. Don't do that. But you know what? I'll tell you this. Whether you're rich or poor, if you're walking with God, you'll be blessed. Amen. He walks with us. Amen. Walking, indwelling, helping, witnessing, teaching, convicting. Oh, I love this one. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. We read it this morning in our text, one of our points, amen. By the way, aren't our young people doing so good tonight, amen? I'll tell you what, it's just sitting there listening to their preacher, not fussing, amen. Now watch, I probably let the floodgates out here. I'll move quickly through these last 2 points, but really, doing wonderful, kids. We appreciate it. Chapter 5, verse 17 says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." What's the seventh way that God manifests Himself to us? By fighting for us. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, praise God for this. It's the Spirit of God that helps us fight against the flesh. When the flesh rears up, and by the way, the second that you think you're past that, you better watch out, because the flesh is going to rear its ugly head. But when the flesh rears up, the Holy Spirit breaks out the spiritual boxing gloves and says, "Let's go, big boy." Amen. It's the Holy Spirit of God that fights against our flesh. By the way, that's the reason why we need to feed the Spirit of God. We need to feed on the good food of the Word of God, gathering with God's people, edifying one another, witnessing to lost souls, giving our spirit food. For if we feed the flesh can overpower us. You ought to starve the flesh and feed the Spirit. Of course, I'm not talking about food, amen. Unless somebody say, "That preacher's preaching on starvation," amen. No. No, we're talking about starving the stinking, rotten, wicked, old nature. Amen. Feeding the Spirit. What does He do? He fights for us. Fighting. He fights for us. Lastly tonight, go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Last point tonight. How does God manifest Himself through us? Through the manifesting ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's real, ladies and gentlemen. He's real. Amen? He's real. He's convicting. He's teaching. He's witnessing. He's helping. He's indwelling. He's walking. He's fighting. Lastly tonight, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Look over just a page. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. "Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24 says, "Faithful is He who calleth you, who also will do it." What's the last thing He does? Working for us. Working in us. There's a great old song. I don't know if you sing it or not, Brother Case. "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be." Amen. You know what? He works on us. He works on. I like to say when I first got saved, I had a truckload of sin to deal with. At our church back then, and still a good idea now, Pastor Donald, amen, we used to have barrel burnings. On Sunday nights, a service just like this, the preacher would bring out an old steel barrel and he'd preach and he'd say, "You know what? I don't care how long you've been saved. Some of us need to throw things in that barrel. Even if it's writing down, 'I have a rotten attitude,' on a piece of paper and putting it in the barrel." And I'm going to tell you something, Brother Case. I needed my own barrel dumpster, one of the 20-footers that you clean out a house with. I just had so much baggage in my life. And God was taking off, and He was, as we talked about this morning, He was smoothing the clay. Amen? But you know, after we've been saved a little while, if we're not careful, we can forget that we still have some rough edges. That God wants to take His file, and He wants the privilege to have worked upon. And you know what? If we'll let Him, He will continue working on us. How does He do that? Through the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad for the sweet Holy Spirit of God? I sure am tonight. How does He manifest Himself to us? Convicting, teaching, witnessing, helping, indwelling, walking, fighting, and working in us. He's real. The manifesting ministry of the Holy Spirit. Our Father,